scripture I'm reading is Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor earth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, Wednesday was when the president first really talked about what's going on. And Thursday is when a lot of people went out shopping. A lot of people went out shopping. And Thursday also just so happened to be our regular shopping day. And so Megan went out, and boy, was it interesting. She was sending me pictures. She went to several different stores, and she sent me a picture from Walmart, and no toilet paper, no paper towels, that whole entire aisle, empty. No soap, no hand sanitizer, no chicken. Just about every single aisle in the food section was either empty or a large portion of it was empty. And at stores where usually she's just in line for a couple of minutes, and there's one cashier, there's four cashiers, and she's in line for quite a while. She went to pick up some medicine at Weiss just before she got home. She was talking with the pharmacist, and the pharmacist said,
yeah.
She said, I had to hide our hand sanitizer, which usually, you know, they have right there. She said, because several people have already tried to steal it today. She said, and one man, not joking, tried to buy it from me for $20. She said that there was a couple of times at the store where there would be someone who's older, who's moving a little bit slower, who was headed towards getting something, was reaching up to get something, and some younger person who was a little quicker would come along and try to get it. And she said, thankfully, I saw it a couple times, and she basically like was like, don't you touch that. And she got it, and she handed it to them. Kind of interesting how people can be, right? And it's even been said that there's, right now, there are no supply line shortages. There's no need to worry about things not being in the stores. If everyone would just shop for what they need, and even if you got one more thing than you usually do, there'd still be enough for everyone. Instead, a lot of the 24-hour stores are now closing at night just so they can restock for the morning. And so it's fascinating when things like this happen, when people start to get concerned. Some people just go all out. Did you look at the bulletin this morning? Did you see the article there, right? Did you see how that happens? If you just, at a cursory glance, but then if we calm down and we slow down, the message is completely different, isn't it? And some people are in chaos, and some people are just kind of going, meh. And there's kind of like everywhere in between right now. And I find that when these kind of things happen, it's very important as Christians to take a step back and to make sure that we're centered. You can turn to Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I want you to think about the first century. And you think about the apostles and the time that they lived in. There they are. They're in the promised land. And yet it's occupied by the Romans. The Romans are not letting the Jews run the land the way God told them to do it. And they're so used to the Romans being there that by this point, many of them have just kind of given in to the Romans. And there have been uprisings and insurrections, and there have been rebellions and all these things happening, and sometimes amongst their own people. And then when the church comes on the scene, what happens? There's religious people persecuting the church. The government persecutes the church. And it's very difficult and confusing and sort of chaotic. And what we find, though, is that ultimately the disciples were centered and they were okay. as long as they were confident that Jesus was okay. Remember, they thought he was going to set up this physical kingdom, right? He's going to sit on a literal throne. They're going to beat back the Romans. And when he's on the cross, it's even before that, he's arrested. It's very clear that's not going to happen. Many of them scatter. They think, well, he's not okay, so the whole plan apparently isn't okay. But what happens when he comes back from the dead and they find out he's okay? They realize, oh, no, everything is apparently going according to plan. If he's okay, then we're okay. He ascends back up into heaven, and there they are in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, and finally everything settles in that he's in heaven reigning from his throne, and he's okay. So as his followers, they realized they were okay. And so notice in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to go over to verse 30. After Jesus talks about being anxious, being nervous about food, about clothing, things like that, and saying, you know, God provides for the flowers. Why wouldn't he provide for you? It says in verse 30, "For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and where no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He says, yeah, the nations of the world, everyone's, you know, concerned about where's my next meal coming from, my clothing. These are just general concerns, general worries that people fall into. He says, but God knows. He says, don't fear, because God provides. And he says, so much so, he says, I want you to sell your possessions there in verse 33 and give to the needy. Be so confident that God's going to take care of you that you're willing to help other people. And if we back up, we're not going to read it, but verse 13 through 21 is that parable of the rich fool, right? Where he says, I will do something for me. I will tear down my barns. I will build larger so that I never have to work again. I have everything that I will ever need. It's all about me. I'm the only one I need to care about. And Jesus, with a stark contrast to that, says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. I'm sure you've seen that part of the reason for the shortage, well, not the shortage, but part of the reason for the empty aisles, it's not a shortage because they're being restocked, but part of the reason for the empty aisles is there's people going and buying as much as they possibly can so that they can sell it at a huge markup. There's people, unfortunately, that have already made a whole lot of money doing that. One fella down, I believe, in Tennessee he lives, he drove over 1,000 miles out of state. And instead of going to the big stores, he went to all these smaller country stores and he bought up all their hand sanitizer. Had almost 20,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. And his plan is to sell it at 20 times the markup. And he starts putting it on Amazon and eBay and all these things. And all those websites said, nope, we're not going to let you sell it. Not like that. And it's interesting when you read the interview with him, because he doesn't see anything wrong with what he did. He said, well, no, I'm helping people because I'm going out and I'm getting it from places they would never go. Then why the markup of 20 times what you paid for it, right? That's an attitude that says, me, 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 I. Where instead there's other people out there with signs that say, you know, if you need toilet paper, I've got some over here. If you need hand sanitizer, we have some over here. It's interesting that Jesus says to sell and help instead of hoard and gouge. But instead, the followers of Jesus should be those that, regardless of the scenario and the situation that's happening around us, we're still mindful of other people. And Megan said several times at the store that there were people that accidentally bonked into her with their carts, and when she was very kind to them, they were very rude to her. And people were just not in a good mood about being out and about. Someone said, you know, I'm more worried about how what people are going to do to each other than I might be what this virus is going to do to us. Because we can't always control what happens with illnesses. I mean, we can do everything we can with hygiene, but sometimes there's something we forget or we miss or accidentally touch our face and we don't realize these things. But we can be in control of how we react, how we respond. If we're selfish or if we're selfless. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. So remember there in Luke 12, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock. Fear not." Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." And that word for reasonableness there, the Greek means your patience, your restraint. He says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice, I say, always rejoice. But Paul, you don't know what's happening to me. He says, rejoice. Be patient in your restraint. Be reasonable. And if you are, people will see it. He says there's a peace that God can provide. And he says that it surpasses all understanding. It's so deep. The depths of it are hard to fathom. I mean, we can get a hold on some of it. He says this is for us. This is provided for us. But he says, the way to access that is to pray and be thankful and then think about all these good and pure things so that those are the things that are in our minds. I've heard even since I was a young child, I remember hearing, you know, the news is just always so negative. Well, it's what sells. Wouldn't it be neat if the nightly news wasn't just, well, there was this murder and this and this and that, but like, hey, this person just graduated college and this person just started their own business and all these things that we just don't hear about. And if we only focus on the negative and that's all we ever think of, that's where our heart will be. Even if things are really hard on us. You think of the church in the first century and some of the things they were going through, and yet Paul says to them, rejoice always. And even when there's chaos around you, you, as a follower of Jesus, we need to be reasonable. And where do we get that from? We get that from the peace of God. We get that from knowing that if we're faithful to God, then our sins are forgiven. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we know that no matter what happens, should we live or die tomorrow, that God will take care of us. And that should give us and grant us so much serenity and calmness, even in the face of terror and in the face of hysteria and things like that. And we need to take that, and I'm convinced that idea in verse 5 of letting your reasonableness be known to everyone, take that which we have, which we know because we are followers of Jesus, because we know God, take that and share that with others. Hysteria breeds hysteria. Heard of mob mentality, right? People get whipped up into a frenzy. And yet if we're calm and we're peaceful and we just treat other people as human beings. Mom told me she was at the store yesterday and there was an older fella up front in the line checking out, and the cashier told him, "You have too much of this one item. I'm sorry, we're limiting how many we sell to people." And he said, "I go shopping once a month. My wife is at home. She's very ill. And for her sake, I don't want to get out more than I need to. And so this is my monthly shopping. This is this item for the rest of this month." And he said, "I'm sorry, sir. I can't. I'm just following procedure. You know, I can't make an exception," which is understandable. But then something wonderful happened. And the lady that was standing behind him asked the cashier, "Well, how many over the limit is he?" And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know he had a couple cases more than they wanted to allow him. And she said, "Give me one of those cases. I'll buy it for him." And the lady behind her said, "Give me one of those cases. I'll buy it for him." And they did that. And then they gave it to him. And he had what he needed. Obviously I don't know those people, but to me that exudes, that is a manifestation of the peace of God and the reasonableness of God and doing things that are good, treating people as fellow human beings. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, there was a moment, and this will come up in Revelation in many weeks, but there was a moment in Rome's history where the Caesar died. And there was usually, you know, there's one person that sometimes there's some chaos for a couple of months. Who's going to take over as the Caesar? There wasn't just one person vying for that said, "That's mine." There was not just two people vying for it. There were three individuals that stepped up. And each of them said, "I have the legal right to be the next Caesar." And for a year to about 2 to 3 years, depending on which historians you study, Rome was in a bit of chaos. Well, who's the Caesar? Can you imagine that in this country? If we didn't, who's the president? Well, this guy says he is, and that guy says he is, and that lady says she is, and this group over here respects that one, and this group respects that one, and chaos. Imagine the first century church trying to survive through that. Let alone all the other things that were going on. And yet, Jesus says, "Don't fear, little flock." And Paul says, "Let the peace of God be with you." And then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4,2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 16, but he's talking to the church at Corinth about the things they are going through and some of the things that they were experiencing and some of the things that they were suffering. And Paul wants them to take a step back and look at the big picture, looking even beyond this physical life itself. He says, "So we do not lose heart," verse 16. "Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient and short-lived, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see, he goes from the micro and he says, zoom out, right? Look at the real big picture here. Instead of just looking at the physical and our short lives here, zoom out and look at eternity. Look at what awaits us. He says, essentially, when we compare now to heaven, today's burden is no burden at all. Someone says, well, today is pretty burdensome. And there were times where Paul talked about that too, even in 2 Corinthians. What he's saying, though, is once we're there, today's burden will seem like it was no burden of all, at all. Because at that point, we'll be in the unmitigated presence of God's pure and majestic holiness. And everything we experienced in life that was hard, that was heartbreaking, that was chaotic, that was scary, all these things will seem like a light breeze on a summer day. That's how amazing and awesome it will be to be in heaven with God. Notice in chapter 5, he continues the thought. He says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, he's talking about our bodies, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, this body, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we were still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. So he acknowledges many times in this life, there are burdens that we must bear. There are hardships. He says, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. He says, living in this body and what we do in this body, sometimes it can be hard, sometimes it can be burdensome, but how we react to those burdens is very important. Because one day we're going to answer to God for that. He says, and while we are here, in some ways, we're away from home, aren't we? Because once we became Christians, we acknowledge that this world is not our home. That our true home is in heaven. That we're wandering here, and that we make our home here for a moment as sojourners, our true home is in heaven. And so as long as we're here, we're away from the Lord as far as physicality is concerned. It says, but one day we'll be there. And when we're there, oh, how great and oh, how glorious it will be. So we walk, he says, with confidence that no matter what happens, we're being taken care of. No matter what happens. And that's so much easier said than actually lived out, isn't it? And no wonder we need these reminders over and over and over again in Scripture, right? Because it's so easy, as Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, it's so easy to get caught up in the cares and the worries of the world, which have their place. But when they overcome us, what did he say happens there? They choke out your faith. And when they become all-encompassing, there's no room for faith. Think of think of us as if we're a washcloth, and our faith is the water that's been soaked up in it. And those cares and those worries just come along and just wring it out. And it's not there any longer. And so he says, hold on to what you know is true. We walk by faith, not by sight. Our hope is on things that we do not see, but that we know are real. You remember a couple weeks ago, preached on Jesus talking about being ready at all times because we don't know when he's coming back, right? And that we should live every day like it's our last. But you could say that statement and 10 people could interpret it many different ways. Live every day like it's your last. Well, what does that mean, right? Well, it's my last day. Who cares what I do? I'm going to go out and do whatever I want. That's not what it means. Not for a Christian. If we live every day like our last, it's not in panic or fear or dread, but with the expectation of our home in heaven. And as long as we're still here on this earth, we should then strive to be a blessing to those around us. It's actually something Paul dealt with the church in Thessalonica. Some of them said, well, the Lord is coming back soon. So they were quitting their jobs and all this stuff. And then what happened? They became a burden and a curse to those around them. He said, don't do that. He said, you don't know when he's coming back. So you live with faith and a hopeful expectation of confidence up until the time he comes back, up until that very moment. And treat each other well. Because if we do that, we're a blessing. As long as we're still here, as long as we're still alive, no matter what's happening to us, we can still be a blessing to those around us. But if we give up, we become a burden. We become a curse, don't we? And so no wonder Jesus said, always be prepared. Always be ready. And I turn over to Romans chapter 8. There's so many places and so many times in Scripture that these ideas are mentioned and dealt with. And you even think of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, which we looked at last week in Bible class. And that man, Lazarus, was sick and poor, physically speaking, wasn't he? And he died. And when he died, the angels took him to paradise. And God took care of him. And he did not allow a lack of health or a lack of wealth to get between him and God, to cause his faith to break down, to cause him to fear, to cause his reasonableness to escape him. But instead, because he kept things up, when he died, he had everything he needed, didn't he? Everything he needed. And that's because he was ready at all times. Notice in Romans chapter 8, it was the scripture reading for us. Verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have to work hard to maintain our faith. And we even see there, Lazarus died poor and unhealthy. But he was faithful. And so in that sense, he was rich and healthy in spirit. And you know what? What will happen with this virus that's going around? I don't know. I think it's wise to pay attention to what the experts are saying, but at the end of the day, I don't know. You don't know. Should we be cautious? Sure. Why not? I think it would be foolish to act like nothing is happening. But the reality is that regardless of what happens, if we have Jesus on our side, because we're faithful to Him, because we don't fear, because we're reasonable, because we allow the peace of God to overcome us instead of fear and chaos, because we zoom out and look at the big picture of where we're headed once we pass from this life, if we can hold on to that, no matter what happens in this life, everything's going to be okay. Because Jesus is okay. Everything is going to be okay. And now I want to take what I just read for you in Romans chapter 8 and read something that is a rewording of it, that modernizes it, but holds the exact same idea, but maybe for us makes it slightly more potent today. And this is not I did not come up with this. This is somebody else came up with this. For I am convinced that neither COVID-19, nor flu, neither the stock market crashing, neither the present president of the United States, nor the future president of the United States, nor any foreign power, neither tornadoes, nor wildfires, nor anything else that can or probably will happen will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you can take those two verses and you can insert into those two verses anything that worries people, anything that concerns you. And all of a sudden we realize that as long as we're faithful, nothing will separate us from the love of God and the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. And the majesty and the glory and the full weight of the promises that He has given to us. But we have to be overwhelmed by His peace. We have to let His reasonableness consume us. We have to make sure we trust Him and we don't fear. And we have to share that idea and show it to others, and keep on doing that always, no matter what. And one day, we'll be at home in heaven forever. And we'll look back and we'll say, why did I ever worry about this? How was I ever so concerned about that? Not to say that we shouldn't have concern. And so this morning, at the end of this lesson, I encourage you to allow the peace of God to overwhelm you so that we do not fear. And so that no matter what happens around us, and there is quite a bit of chaos, unfortunately, occurring, we don't get swept up in it. That we instead remember who is in charge no matter what happens. And we show the love of God even if everybody else around us is full of hysteria. Because that will please Jesus. And that's who we should be, living by faith. So I encourage you here at the end of this lesson, if this lesson has inspired you, that you need to change in your walk of faith with the Lord, we're here for you. We love you dearly. And as always, if we can help you, please let us know while we stand and sing.